You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour three of Miller and Moulton on this Football Friday.
Football Friday.
Historic round one of the NFL draft. Most offensive players ever. Six quarterbacks in the first rounds. Hell, six of the first 12 picks went in the first round. You had three teams who didn't have a first round pick. Three teams who had multiple. A lot going on. Which Florida team had the best first round? Jacksonville, Miami, or Tampa Bay? I know who Mark's voting for.
Tampa Bay, baby.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, usually we have to wait till the NBA draft till Mark's pounding the table for a Duke guard. Oh, no. Not this year, baby.
That was really well done, David.
Thank you.
I like that. I'm sorry. That struck me funny.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But Dolphins go Chop Robinson, staying put at 21. They didn't trade down. Remember, they don't have a third and they don't have a fourth round pick. So maybe they just take a first rounder and a second rounder and just say, well, that's just how the cookie crumbles. Or do they now move down with their second round pick and try to accumulate more assets? And Tampa Bay took Graham Barton, the interior lineman from Duke. Highly thought of, durable, plug-and-play guy. Good. They could use it. Jacksonville's interesting. We thought they were going to go DB. We thought, man, Trent Baalke looks smart. Trading down from 17 to 23. And Terrion Arnold's still on the board. By the way, quick sidebar. Have the Eagles become the new Ravens? Doesn't matter where they are, good players find them. Think about it. The Eagles, who reportedly were desperately trying to trade up for 2 days, called half the teams in front of them, trying to move up. What did the Eagles absolutely positively have to come away with in the first round? One of the top two corners. Had to. Nobody does a deal with them. They're stuck at 22. And when it's their turn to pick, Mark, how many of the top two corners are still on the board?
Two.
Have the Eagles become the new Ravens?
In a couple of ways, David, I think you're right. One is what we talked about. The Eagle effect on everybody else. No one would trade with them for fear of being duped. I mean, if they're working that hard at getting a trade and don't get one, that's team saying, I don't want to help this team out. They're smarter than we are. They're taking advantage of us. We're not going to make that move. And yet the Eagles just have a player fall right into their lap that they need.
And they went with Quinyon Mitchell, the corner out of Toledo. Some people had him the best corner. Some people had Terrion Arnold from Alabama.
I will say Detroit did a great job. I mean, you know, they went and got the corner from Tampa in a trade.
They traded for him.
And now they get the corner out of Alabama. I mean, for the weakest part of their team, they certainly improved.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Keep this in mind when you're watching them play this year. What, Carlton Davis from Tampa?
Yes.
And now Terrion Arnold. They gave up a fourth-round pick for Davis, correct?
Third,
okay. And now they give up a 1 and a 3 for Terrion Arnold. It cost them a third-round pick to move up five spots. I got to give Jerry Jones credit. They got the guy at 29 that they were going to take at 24. Now, we could argue, did they take the right offensive lineman? Because Green Bay took Jordan Morgan at 25, tackle Arizona. Tampa Bay took Graham Barton, interior lineman Duke. So, you know, that's, I mean, obviously Dallas could have stayed put at 24 and had either one of those guys. But the guy that they were linked with for weeks was Tyler Guyton, tackle Oklahoma. Well, they moved down five spots, picked up a third, and still took Tyler Guyton, tackle Oklahoma. I mean, listen, Jerry and Stephen Jones deserve a lot of grief for this offseason. They were good last night. That's effective general managing. But Jacksonville, corner or wide receiver, they lost Calvin Ridley. But their pass defense, they invested in a pass rush, but their secondary revamped, but still, do they really have a number one corner? Look at the weapons they're going to have to stop in the AFC. And Terrion Arnold is right there. And he played the style of defense in college that Jacksonville has switched to beginning this year with a new DC. It looked like a perfect fit. But they went with the wide receiver, Brian Thomas. And on a lot of draft boards, Mark, it's a toss as to which guy was ranked higher on your board. The whole, we stay true to our board. Well, Mark, you know, there's one guy that you followed, Terrion Arnold, rated 10th best player of the draft. But there are other people that had Brian Thomas rated as like the 12th or 14th best player of the draft.
Oh, and I had him as 15th. So, I mean, I don't think they lose with where they drafted and what they were able to get. Let me ask you this question, David. And I know it's just one round. But we kept going with the teams. Are they better, the same, or worse?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the three Florida teams, which team last night improved themselves to the point where you think it's a difference maker? Because to me, Tampa did. When you compare them to what Atlanta did, Atlanta didn't get better last night. They got better maybe for 2026, but they certainly didn't get better for this year.
Well, Tampa drafted a plug-and-play interior offensive lineman, which they need. They had a center who's below average, and they have a hole at one of the guard spots. So, you know, tough to argue that, you know, now, you know, Brian Thomas, rookie wide receivers have done really well in the last half dozen years in the NFL. For the longest time, rookie wide receivers outside of like Randy Moss struggled. But now, because of the way the college game has developed, wide receivers are coming into Sundays and they're just picking up where they left off. But I would rank them Tampa, Jacksonville, Miami in terms of who helped themselves the most yesterday, because I'm not sold on Chop Robinson and I think he's still a project.
And they need him to be a plug and play player, though.
Well, especially since two of their four edge rushers are coming off injury, and it's kind of like Jaden Ramsey last year. You know, Jalen, you knew by mid-October, November, Ramsey was going to be back. But in the first part of the year, he wasn't there. That's kind of, you know, they got a couple edge rushers coming back from major injuries in which before Halloween or Columbus Day, you're not quite sure what you're going to get from them. And Chop, in theory, is going to get better as the year goes on, but you really need him maybe in the first 6 weeks. I thought Miami was going to trade out. You know, that I thought Miami was having a great draft because no defensive players went in the first 14. But then the edge rushers, there were three of them that were considered the surefire edge rushers. Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, and
Latu.
Okay, and they went 15, 17, 19 in no particular order. You throw in Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas, going to Seattle at 16, and all of a sudden Miami, who an hour earlier might have been like, holy blank, look who's going to fall in our lap. Instead, they were down to the fourth best edge rusher on most people's boards in Chop Robinson. But both corners were on the board. Both elite corners were still on the board. And if you're Miami, by the way, why wouldn't you make the deal with Detroit? Detroit had to call you, right? I mean, Detroit was looking to move up for Terrion Arnold. They moved up to 24, gave up a third-round pick. Miami doesn't have a third or a fourth-round pick. If you're Miami, would you take Detroit's third and move back eight spots? You tell me, Mark.
100%.
I'm willing to bet my job Detroit called them. And the Eagles said no because we're taking a corner. Jacksonville had already moved down to 23, so they're likely weren't going to trade out again. And Dallas at 24 said, yeah, we'll do it. But I'll bet you Detroit called Miami. How could they not? They're willing to give up a third-round pick. Miami doesn't have one.
And you would think Miami would be the first team that would want to trade based on what their draft equity was going into it.
So we'll see.
My only thought is maybe 21 had already happened. You know what I'm saying? Before Detroit made the call?
Well.
To come up to 24?
Well, the other thing that may have happened is that Miami's like, we'll do the deal unless a certain player is still on the board. Because Miami made that pick in a minute and a half. You know, Miami was jumping up and down for Chop Robinson.
Yep.
That's who they wanted.
100%. You're right, David. Based on how quickly the pick came in.
Right. So they may have had a deal with Detroit worked out unless he was still on the board. And they weren't going to pass up the edge rusher.
And we'll never know. But, boy, you got to think Chop Robinson was all over boards from a standpoint of where he was ranked by different teams.
You mean like all over the place?
Yes, absolutely.
Anywhere from?
Anywhere from top 20 to 47.
Yeah.
I'm just not crazy about see, especially in Miami's case, because what haven't they done? They haven't won yet. See, Kansas City, Baltimore, San Francisco, you know, teams that win playoff games all the time. In the Chiefs' case, hell, they're winning Super Bowls. You know, even Buffalo. I would have been okay if Buffalo took a flyer, because Buffalo's winning the division. Buffalo's getting to the playoffs. They're usually winning at least one playoff game. You know, Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since the Clinton administration. I'm not crazy about taking projects. I need wins in January before we start taking projects.
But, David, I don't necessarily disagree that he's a project, but that is – the Dolphins might not feel that way.
Well, they obviously they don't. And the only thing I would say to rebut what you're talking about is that and I'm with you, David, because I think they need him in the first half of the season before everyone's injured. But if they're right and the project starts to work out in the second half, when's he going to be at his peak in the playoffs? And now they've got multiple guys that can get after a quarterback in the postseason. That does make a difference. That's what Philadelphia did a couple years ago, David.
Well, and the other thing is the Dolphins have a couple of expensive edge rushers that they may move off of here quickly. And if Chop Robinson's the real deal, they can move off one or two of these guys. Miller and Moulton.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network. MillerandMoulton.com. Miller_Moulton on X. Our poll question, since four of our five affiliates are in the state of Florida, which Florida team made the best pick in the first round last night? So you got Chop Robinson, Miami, Graham Barton, Tampa, Brian Thomas Jr., the Jags. So far, Barton of Tampa, Mark's choice. And I voted for Graham Barton also. Short-term plug-and-play guy. I think he'll be more productive in his first 2 years than the other two. Hoping for the Dolphins and Jags' sake, I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you want them all to work. But as we went through the exercise of just contracts of teams that give a second contract to a draft pick, you've got to like where Tampa's at because the likelihood is above and beyond that he'll get a second contract.
Offensive linemen teams have been far more accurate taking in the first round than any other position. So whatever that's worth.
21,000 is the text line if you want to chime into the show. I probably should have that up in front of me.
Yeah, let us know how you think your team did. How'd you do last night?
Especially since we asked you earlier in the week what your level of confidence was in your team's front office, basically, heading into the draft. You know, did you think your team was going to get it right? So now that the first round's come and gone, and I can't say it enough. I mean, there's still, if you're a goober, of which I am, I mean, I love the draft. I love all drafts, though. I mean, all the leagues, I love drafts. I do. Find them fascinating. which is why it's interesting that I don't play fantasy sports. Because deep down, I'd love to be a general manager. And what is fantasy sports? You're your own GM. Makes no sense. I know. But, you know, there are five teams that don't have a second-round pick. That usually means there's five teams that have multiple second-round picks. And there are. You know, there are six teams that don't have third-round picks. There are, if I do the math here, I got eight teams that have multiple third-round picks. You know, Washington's got two twos and three threes today. And I'll say it again. Jaden Daniels' closest friend in the National Football League is Brandon Ayuk. He's had a friendship with him for 4 years. They talk all the time. If you're Washington, you have two twos and three threes, and the Niners are looking to unload Ayuk. I mean, come on now. I'm asking you right now, Mark, if you're Washington, would you give up a two and a three for Ayuk?
A two and a three?
Yeah, two and a three. Because if I'm San Francisco, if you have that many resources, I'm not going to say yes to just you offering up the high second round pick. And remember, it's what, fourth pick of the second round?
David, you might not. But you don't have a choice. And I love when you negotiate like this. I truly do. I would, you and I would hang up on each other several times before we get a deal with a few F-bombs thrown at one another. And then we'd work it out. But your choice with Ayuk is pay him or lose him. And you're not, you can't afford to pay him. So I don't think you're in a position where you can be demanding a second and a third.
And I get it, but here's what you can say if you're San Francisco to Washington. Well, then I'm going to trade them to Buffalo instead because their second-round pick's higher than yours. You're 36, they're 33. So you got to give me something.
Okay.
You got to give me something. You got three threes. Give me the 100th pick of the draft. They got the last pick, I think, in the third round. Last or second to last pick, a compensatory pick. Just give it to me. Come on now.
I can live with that. The irony is that 100 pick is from San Francisco. So yeah. They're trading it back to him. I mean, that is the irony right there.
So, you know, something like that. I mean, the talk is Buffalo by moving to 33. They're in a spot. Obviously, they could be very aggressive here, either with who they're picking or trading for, et cetera. And they have a need at wide receiver. They have other needs also.
But I think as CBW points out, the receiver room in Washington's not bad.
No, it's not. But can you ever have enough? Because the other thing is, if you have three, you can eventually let one of them go contractually. You're like, well, we don't need to pay all of them. We'll move on from one of them. One of them usually gets hurt. One of them usually doesn't keep performing at the highest level. I mean, look at Miami. You know, they got two elite wide receivers. They're number three and four are not that great. I mean, they're not. And so if one of their top two receivers gets hurt, okay, all of a sudden Miami becomes a lot easier to defend. Teams are in the three wide receiver set two-thirds of the time. So, you know, you're trying to get three.
By the way, a few texts, a lot of people commenting about last night. Thank you for all the nice words about our draft show last night. But this guy says, I'm a huge Bills fan, and I'm not happy. Somebody better know something.
Yep. I don't blame you.
Eagles fan just simply says, great.
Who?
An Eagles fan.
Once again, they're the new Ravens, man. No matter what they do, trade up, trade down, stay put. It's like, damn. Look at that player that they got.
Bears fan says he's happy. Says happy with taking the wide receiver. Keenan Allen might only be a one-year player and no depth after DJ Moore. Hope Caleb is at least 75% as good as advertised.
I will say, and if you're going to buy into this, because people can be coached up, but Caleb Williams in the last few days doing the media that he's done has not been the flighty Caleb Williams from USC the last 2 years. He hasn't. Caleb Williams, in the last week, Mark, has looked mature, has come off as an adult. I will say the Bears did something. I love what they did. Apparently, they brought him into town a week ago. They didn't go to dinner with him. You know, not Kevin Warren, the president, not the GM, not the head coach, not the offensive coordinator. You know who went to dinner with him? They let the team leaders. They said to Caleb, go to dinner with them. We'll have plenty of time to get to know you and talk to you and what have you. Go to dinner with them. I like that. All right. Let's go. I mean, because, you know, in theory, he's got more ability than he's got leadership, right? Coming in.
By the end of the year, who's going to be the best quarterback in the NFC North?
It'll be Goff. It'll be Goff. Come on. What do you think? Do you honestly think it's not going to be Goff?
At the end of the season?
At the end of the season. I'm not saying Goff. In September.
Okay, so that means, I mean, let's think about this. That would mean that Caleb Williams has a rookie of the year type impact because Goff was really good last year.
He was. Jared Goff was the top 8 quarterback in the league last year, maybe top 6. He was very good last year. Very good. Best year of his career. Worthy of being taken first overall. That's how good he was last year. But Jordan Love's on the ascent, right? I mean,
yes.
Honestly, going forward, do you think Jared Goff's going to get any better, Trent, than he played last year?
No.
Now, not that he has to, by the way. You want 5 right. more years just like
Oh, my! If you get 3 more years like that, I would be ecstatic right. if I'm a Lions fan.
So, for this next season, if you could have one quarterback in the NFC North, who would you pick?
Well, I would take Goff.
Me too.
Mark? And I was not a Goff guy coming out of college.
Those no, you were not.
Those who had been with the show for a while, when it was Goff or Wentz, I was Wentz.
I would take Goff, but it's closer than you think, Trent.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, I mean, I could concede that.
Now, the real question will be in like 26 and 27, who are you going to like in the NFC North?
Hendon Hooker.
Miller and Moulton.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour. Thanks so much for being with us. You look like you were about to say something. You okay?
No, I'm not. I, during the commercial break, watched my cannonball into the pool.
For those
it was embarrassing.
Well, for those that weren't with us last night, we signed on a few minutes before 8 o'clock. Mark and his soon-to-be 10-year-old daughter christened our live draft show by doing, because Mark did the show from his back lanai, and they have a beautiful pool and beautiful lighting and what have you. And so, you know, they cannonballed into the pool. And it was cool. It was fun. And Mark was like, how was it? And I said, well, I'm not doing this just to be snarky, which I know is what you're going to think, but you kind of looked like Mickelson on 18 and 04. You got about 4 inches off the platform there.
Yeah, I don't know if you could have been able to put a Bonita Springs phone book underneath that jump. It was pitiful.
It there was not a lot of air. No.
I need a personal trainer. I mean, what I... What I learned during the commercial break is that, I mean, I already knew I was terribly out of shape. I'm fat. And athletically, I always felt like you, David, I could get the foul ball. I'm not asking for much.
Right.
I'm asking for 3 steps.
Exactly. You look at people and you say, listen, I'm a little more agile than you think. That's what I tell people all the time. I'm a little more agile than you think, and I'm a lot tougher than you think. I know I look soft. I'm actually not. Take it for what it's worth. But, Mark, if you think about it, the only exercise that you get is stepping down off of the golf cart onto the grass. I mean, you know, so, and that's basically what you did last night, cannonballing into the pool.
Yeah.
You treated it like, oh, I'm getting out of the cart.
Johnny Mac, it looked like you tripped into the pool. And I have nothing for that.
No.
I would love to say, oh, really? No, you're right.
No. You were like a stone, too, man. You just went down. Boom. Gravity was at work. As soon as you stepped off that platform, there was no up. It was just boom, down.
Well, and I don't think – I think the funniest part is you did it right next to your daughter. So there was the comparison of her right. performance as opposed to yours.
She's an athlete.
Yes.
Exactly. And you're like a foot and a half taller than her, and yet she got high. Her head was higher off the ground than yours because she's got some spring in her step.
Yes.
And, you know, right. She vaulted up a couple feet in the air. Right.
I need to hire a personal trainer.
You sunk like a stone last night. You did.
Did you touch the bottom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Quickly, I might add. Bottom.
How deep is it?
Not deep.
6 feet?
No.
5 feet?
I think 5.5 in the at the deepest point. There's not an area where I can't stand in my pool. And I'm 5'8". But it was a pathetic. And the problem is that that's there. Like, I'm not going to go delete that broadcast. Anybody wants to see how pathetic I look, twitch.tv/Miller and Moulton has it.
Right.
Can't run from that.
At least you were smart. You kept your shirt on. Okay. You know, I mean, you wanted to protect the viewers. Even though we're on Twitch, you were fearful of an FCC violation. I get it. That's good. So yeah, for next year, you know, maybe the goal is a little more air on the cannonball next year.
I'm totally with you. This is like Eisen running the 40 at the combine. I've got to work hard to get ready for next year's cannonball.
You got to train like Portnoy, you know, does. Well, you know, we have to start gambling like Portnoy. Man, he's on a roll.
We are on a roll, David.
We sure are. Do you know what our picks are like lately? Like your cannonball last night. It's just straight down.
It's not true. We made two bets. We made three bets. One was a silly dollar parlay that didn't hit. We made two bets on games. We won them both last night.
Yeah, that's true. We did. Well, you know, we've had about six bad weeks in a row here. It's about time. Got to snap out of it.
Are we betting the White Sox?
No.
Mark will not let me throw good money after bad teams. He won't. Trent, we were doing our regular Friday picks during the college football season many, many years ago, and Mark just went on a sidebar with me on the air. Why do you continuously bet on bad teams to cover? And I looked right at him like, you know, it really doesn't make sense now that you say it like that. No, it doesn't. Stop.
David, he's given me the same sidebar many a time.
Yeah, well. Think about it. You kept betting on the Pistons, and we kept going, what are you doing? So how'd your team do? 21,000 on the text line. How'd your team do last night? Bears fan, Bills fan, Vikings fan. You traded up twice. You've traded a ton of draft assets in this year's draft and next year's draft. For those two first-round picks that you took last night, and then you traded up twice, giving up plenty of middle, fourth, and fifth-round picks in multiple drafts to do so, to move up one spot and six spots. And you come away with basically the Houston Texans draft from last year. Your quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, your edge rusher, and Dallas Turner. And the Texans got it at 2-3. You did it at 10-17. And you gave up a lot of draft equity to do it, though.
But many think, you know, it's a great comparison, David, because if you were to look at Houston last year at this point compared to Minnesota this year before the draft, whose roster is better heading into the season? I think it would be the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we undervalued Houston's roster and the job that Nick had done in the offseason, putting it together. Absolutely. First off, we didn't think C.J. Stroud was going to be that good that quickly. I mean, you know, that's one of the five best seasons a rookie quarterback's ever had. I mean, it was amazing.
But J.J. McCarthy's a winner, David. So, I mean, this is an easy transition for him. He's won everywhere he's at. So now he's just going to walk into Minnesota and win, right?
Now, I sense a little snark there.
Just a touch.
I sense a little attitude. I will say this. I love his coach. I love his coach. If my son was a quarterback, I would love him to go to the coach in Minnesota. I really do. And how ironic, by the way, he got the job over who?
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh.
But so I do love, and he's, and I think he's the best receiver in the league, Jefferson. I do. Honestly, healthy, I would take him over everybody else. Tyreek, Jamar, I really would. One game, I get to pick one receiver, I'd take him.
Yeah, I don't think that's worth. I don't think that's controversial at all. He's the real deal.
Now, he just played behind a better offensive line in college than the one he's got on Sundays, so that's going to be a problem. But
okay. He's got two receivers. He's got a good tight end that's coming back from injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, think about it. He's got Jefferson, he's got Jordan Addison, and he's got Hockenson when Hockenson comes back. And he's got a really good coach and play caller.
But he's used to that offense where they run the ball a lot. And what does Minnesota have at running back?
Well, no, not
and,
much.
And what do they have at offensive line, more importantly?
I think that's interesting, you know? I mean, you're basically asking him to change his play style
and
as a rookie.
Minnesota does not have a second-round pick and does not have a third-round pick. The Vikings will not be selecting today unless they give up even more future draft capital to move back into a pick today.
So they sold out in the moves they made. Two drafts.
Now, I'll say this. Two things have happened here in the last couple days. So St. Brown gets $30 million a year on an extension. And an hour before the draft yesterday, the Eagles gave A.J. Brown 32 a year for three. Three for 96. So what do you think Justin Jefferson's getting? Seriously. 40. I mean, so if you're the Vikings, you're paying your receiver and you're not paying your quarterback. But think about what you're now going to have to pay Justin Jefferson.
What did St. Brown get? 77 guaranteed. Brown got what guaranteed?
I don't know what the
it was more guaranteed
was.
Money, I thought.
Okay. Well, the extension was 3 for 96. So maybe they guaranteed most of it. But just think about what you're going to have to do for Jefferson. First off, Jefferson younger than both. Jefferson, I think, is going to want a longer-term deal.
He's going to want 5 years.
And you're going to have to give him at least four, and you're probably going to have to give him around 35. I mean, you're probably going to have to do four for 140.
But you've got the quarterback on the right contract to be able to do that.
And you're going to have to guarantee 100 of it to sign him to the extension. But yes, it's okay, you got a rookie quarterback, so we can do this. And the cap's going up 25 plus million a year every year. I'm telling you, the cap is not going to be the issue that it's been, especially coming out of the pandemic, when the cap actually went down for like the only time ever. This league is swimming in money. Swimming in money. These $50 and $55 million deals for the quarterbacks, I know I'm wrong about a lot. They're not going to be that big a deal going forward. They're really not. I mean, when the cap's $320 million in 3 years, so what? The quarterback's making 51. He's 16, 70% of your cap. Big deal. But just curious, how do you think your team did? You know, Giants fans, you didn't take McCarthy. You didn't take Penix. You took the wide receiver. When do you think you're ever going to be in as good a position to replace Daniel Jones as you were last night?
But, David, you're a Giants fan. You didn't love any of those options.
I didn't. And I love Neighbors as a player. Love him. But once again, You're going nowhere without a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback. Please explain to me when they're going to be in position to get a quarterback. Because unfortunately, they're going to win just a few too many games. That's the problem. They're going to keep winning 6-7 games.
Yeah, maybe I was surprised more than anything that I would love to know what the offers were because, you know, the Patriots apparently had offers to trade out of three. The Cardinals had offers to trade out of four. You have to think the Giants had offers to trade out of six. I mean, you have to think that the Vikings were at least talking to these teams and would love to know what type of offers were made for teams to not accept them. But I think you and I, you know, you and I thought there was about four times that there were perfect opportunities for teams to trade down, and it didn't happen last night.
Apparently, two teams called up the Chargers and wanted Justin Herbert. Now, it wasn't last night, but it was leading up to last night. And the Chargers went, no, stop it. Enough already.
I don't blame teams for doing it, though.
No.
When the head coach is saying J.J. McCarthy is the best prospect in the draft, you've got to at least make the phone call.
Sure.
I don't know if it's just my algorithm on X, but what I'm seeing, Vikings fans are disgusted. Not just McCarthy, but the whole their approach to the draft, like David laid out.
Well, listen, and Pat and I have been saying it together, you know, so it sounds as if one of us got it from the other, but we actually both came to the conclusion separately. We're not a fan of the GM in Minnesota. For as much as I love the coach, that's how much I don't like the GM. I mean, the draft assets that he's given up, okay, and letting Kirk Cousins walk for nothing, and, I mean, they've gone backwards as far as I'm concerned. What that roster looked like in 2022 versus what that roster looks like in 2024, I think they've gone backwards, and they have no draft capital going forward. But if J.J. McCarthy can play, they'll be fine. Eventually.
Do you think he can play? You think he'll be a serviceable NFL quarterback, right?
Yes, I do. I think he'll even be a little better than that. I think he has the potential to be as good as Jared Goff.
So funny. That's exactly the comp I was going to give you.
But a lot of what makes... Go ahead, David. Sorry.
I also think he's in the right situation. Like, they signed Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold can go out there and get his brains beat in for half a season this year. They don't have to throw J.J. on the field until they think he's ready.
A lot of what made Jared Goff so great last year was that O-line.
And they don't have that Minnesota.
And, by the way, when he was taking the Rams to a Super Bowl, they had a really good offensive line. And Sean McVay. You know, coaching. We don't talk about it enough. It's pretty important.